till next week. Is there anyone here associated with or on behalf of the National Disability Employment Awareness Month? Oh, great. All right, just want to make sure folks were here. You want to come up? Four of you. So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the City Council Chambers. Before I gavel us into official proceedings, I'd like to proclaim the following. Whereas fair access to employment is a fundamental right of everyone, including the 17% of Portlanders who are living with disabilities, and whereas the City of Portland affirms its commitment to ensuring that our nation's promise extends to all of its citizens, and whereas expanding employment opportunities and fighting false impressions and perceptions that hinder people living with disabilities from joining the workforce will uphold America's moral values, strengthen our economy, and make America a more hopeful place. And whereas the City of Portland is committed to empowering all people to reach their full educational, social, and professional goals, and whereas Congress has designated October as National Disability Employment Awareness Month to recognize the contributions of Americans with disabilities and encourage all citizens to ensure equal opportunity in the workforce. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim October 2011 to be National Disability Employment Awareness Month in Portland and encourage all government officials, labor leaders, employers, and all other residents to observe and celebrate the contribution of individuals with disabilities to our workplaces and communities and to promote the employment of individuals with disabilities to create a better, more inclusive city in which every person is rightly recognized for his or her ability and accomplishments. Congratulations. Thank you. Would you like to introduce yourselves and just say a few words?
Yeah. My name is John Murphy. I'm the president of Portland Rehabilitation Center. And certainly welcome and appreciate this message by the City of Portland. And I'd have to say that the city has been a great partner with Portland Rehabilitation Center to create opportunities for folks with disabilities by buying the services and products of people with disabilities, and particularly where we can provide work that pays wages and have benefits that sustain people. I'd always want to remind people of the scope of this issue. When unemployment for the general population came into the 10% range, it was a public emergency. While the community of people with disabilities have been living with unemployment rates in the 60% level their lives. So when unemployment gets down to 10% range for our folks, we'll be dancing in the streets celebrating. So it's a big problem, and we really appreciate the urgency. And again, we appreciate the message from the City of Portland, your support.
Thanks for your work. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Therese Grayson, and I am on the City's Commission on Disabilities, and I am also with PHC Northwest, as well as the co-chair of Connecting Communities Coalition. And a quick invitation and a reminder to everybody that we are now on our third year of the Connecting Communities event. And this year, we're going to have an event called Adaptable at Any Age, and it's going to be at the Doubletree Hotel, October 20. That's from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And the city has been a wonderful partner for the last 3 years. We again will have the great Making a Difference Awards, and Commissioner Fritz will be handing out these wonderful awards to individuals, organizations, agencies that promote inclusion of people with disabilities. So again, it's a free event, and there's a lot of wonderful technology for office, home, recreation, arts of from people of all abilities, as well as food, drinks. And again, it's free, so please join.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Barbara Dirks. I'm the co-chair of the Connecting Communities Coalition. I'm also on the board for Insight, which also works with people with disabilities around employment and education. And this is just very short. I just want to thank the council members for having this acknowledgement and really appreciate your support.
You've got it. Thank you.
Thank you
very
so much.
All right. Portland City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, October 12th, 2011. It's 2 p.m. and we are in regular session. Hi, Carly. Enjoying the fall sun this afternoon?
Yes.
I guess it's gone. It was out there for a minute. Can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed beginning with communications. Can you please read the title to item number 1072?
Request of Art Llewellyn to address council regarding Columbia River Crossing, FEIS, MAX, and other things.
Mr. Llewellyn? Hi. Welcome back. Please come forward. Hi, Mr. Llewellyn.
Hello, Sam.
He always waits for you to give us, and you wait for him to start. So why don't you push the button and give it to us and see what happens?
Oh, I see. There's a button involved.
He has to push a button. Yeah.
Button pushing. Well,
thank you, man.
Good afternoon, Council. I have been appearing before the City Council and Metro regarding the Columbia River Crossing Project, as I've gotten mostly involved in over the last year to support an alternative. And submitting materials, those that you have there before you now on the front is the latest, and on the as you get towards the rear, it's materials I've already previously submitted. And I have been going over the other alternative proposals that have made it into the public view. And I am on the side of the idea that the I-5 bridges are in need of being replaced. I'm on that side, but I can't support the current project as it is because it has too great of an impact on Hayden Island mainly. And so a year ago when alternatives came up or fell into place that felt like I could get behind, I would make this effort to get this project going and believe that we could invest wisely and it would be worth the effort and then the effort that we made so far would be worthwhile. And I'm not here today in any way connected with Occupy Portland, but I do feel like their message is one where we have got to have greater understanding of how our government processes work and how they are our government. That's not as if I'm speaking as if I'm an anti-government person. No, I respect the positions that you take regarding how we construct our society and deal with Portland infrastructure, etc. I'm going to struggle through this as I usually do. It's kind of my nature. I find it hard to put my thoughts into make them legible. That's why I submit material, written materials whenever I can. But as I said, it's the Hayden Island interchange that to me is the sticking point on the whole project. And when that was came to the fore a year ago, the idea of building just a southbound-only bridge alone, together, they really worked together well. And it became a way I feel like we could reduce the cost of the project. A lot of people are for the third river, a third crossing. A lot of people are making investments in the rail corridor. I'm for investment, but I'm not a big fan of high-speed rail, and the third bridge would cost much more expensive, and leave I-5 in its current state. Let me just finish up. Three minutes is just not long enough. I hope you'll have another look at my work and not just to simply dismiss it. I think that's what people are afraid of, what is happening with our government agencies. I'm not like that. I can imagine that the responsibilities that you have to fulfill are overwhelming, but I respect that you're doing your best. Okay?
Well, Mr. Llewellyn, I really appreciate the time that you take thinking about this, the iteration that is on the table for state and federal consideration. The footprint on Hayden Island went from, I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but it went from, you know, the equivalent of 20-some lanes down to what it is now.
17, I think.
Yeah, so I think it was 28 lanes to 17, and we did that by taking the cloverleaf off and putting a lot more of that onto the Marine Drive area. And so I'd encourage you to take a look at the before and after.
Oh, I have.
If there's additional ways to skinny it down, you've got my email, and keep at it.
I can't agree that the steps that have been taken are significant. Even my argument with this material that I've been made all along is that the current design is not safe at all. It's not safer. As the Oregonian article recently stated, it's much more dangerous.
Well, again, I appreciate the conversation, and there's a lot more time to go and on this project. So thank you. Can you please read the title for, it looks like they're together, so if that's all right with them, 1073 and 1074.
1073, request of Dan Handelman to address council regarding Portland Bring the War Dollars Home Resolution, and 1074, request of Kurt Bell to address council regarding bringing our dollars home from wars and bases abroad.
Mr. Handelman, welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and City Council. I'm Dan Handelman. Today I'm representing the Peace and Justice Works Iraq Affinity Group. And last week, news broke that the City of Portland expects to make further cuts to its already shrinking budget due to, quote, global and national issues. It seems that now would be an ideal time for Portland City Council to follow the lead of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, which in June passed a resolution to bring the war dollars home.
And whose committee did that come out of?
I'm about to say that. The resolution was supported by Mayor Sam Adams and introduced by Mayor Kitty Pearcey of Eugene. 10 years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq have contributed to the serious financial crisis facing the nation. Estimates by the National Priorities Project put the cost of the two wars at over $1.2 trillion. This is not to mention the costs of human life for Americans, Iraqis, and Afghans. In August, Representative Earl Blumenauer signed on to legislation H.R. 2757, which calls for the U.S. to stop spending money on troops or contractors in Iraq after December 31, the date agreed upon for withdrawal in the 2008 Status of Forces Agreement. Portland City Council showed leadership in calling for the troops to come home from Iraq with a resolution in November of 2006. Thank you for that, Commissioner Leonard. A recent poll shows that 62% of the American public wants the troops to come home from Afghanistan faster than proposed by President Obama. Since early August, Portlanders have been sending letters and emails to City Council asking for a local version of the resolution, but none has been forthcoming. We present you today the most recent batch of letters urging the Council to pass a local version of the War Dollars Resolution, as well as proposed language that you might use based in part on the one that passed the Eugene City Council by a vote of 7-1 back in June. As the Occupy Portland movement continues to point out, American economic policies are heavily influenced by corporate money. We urge Council to further connect the suffering economy to this endless warfare that has cost trillions of dollars on the military, contractors, and otherwise occupying the nations of Iraq and Afghanistan, not to mention bombing countries, Somalia, Pakistan, and Yemen with drone warfare. Imagine if the people occupying our downtown core were not concerned residents but armed troops from a foreign nation. It is time to bring the troops home and redirect this money to urgent human needs such as jobs, education, housing, and health care. In addition to passing the resolution, we hope that Council and members of the public will come out and join Peace and Justice Works and 33 other organizations this Saturday, October 15, for a rally and march in the South Park blocks at 1 p.m. with an educational forum at the First Unitarian Church at 2:30. I also want to acknowledge that my colleague Ann Huntwork from the North Peace Community is actually here. She tried to sign up on the Council agenda, and there was a mix-up with the council clerk's email address, so she didn't manage to get on the agenda.
Ann, can you come up for a second? I have a question for you. But before that, would you like to go, sir?
Thank you. So I push the...
You don't have to do anything?
I don't have to do anything. You have to speak. Great.
Carla pushed the button for you.
Thank you very much. So I'm here to speak in support of a city council resolution to accelerate the ending of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and to bring our dollars home. My name is Curtis Bell. I'm a retired scientist from OHSU. I'm a member of the Peace Action Committee at First Unitarian Church, and I've been active in the peace movement, largely within the faith community, for since the Iraq War was winding out. I've also been working on the same rally that Dan just mentioned, this coming Saturday, 10 years in Afghanistan, end the wars, bring our dollars home. A few days ago, Mayor Adams told the Oregonian that Portland should prepare for hefty budget cuts, as much as 8%. He warned of possible closure of fire stations, recreation centers, and pools, as well as the elimination of services such as rental inspections, graffiti abatement, emergency housing assistance, all this on top of previous deep cuts in our services. I'm reminded of a sign I saw last night at the Occupy Portland site. It said, Mr. Policeman, you're just one layoff from being one of us. People's needs are not being met in the current economic crisis, and the problems are getting worse. Faith leaders have often said that a budget is about values and morality. Where are our priorities? I believe that the budget of the city of Portland is indeed a moral document. I believe the city's money goes for real human needs in general. But I do not believe the same can be said of our federal government. It's not a moral document. Over half the discretionary budget goes for war, wars that have killed and wounded hundreds of thousands of people, including tens of thousands of American citizens, devastated countries, and made us less safe by increasing the risk of terrorism here at home. Portland alone has contributed $1.2 billion to these wars alone, let alone the rest of the military spending. And no end is in sight. The wars are costing us dearly and giving us less than nothing in return. The federal government is unresponsive and gridlocked. Some might even say it's almost broken. A change there from spending our money on war and militarism to spending it on what people really need is either impossible or only possible if there's massive grassroots effort to make the change in priorities. The Portland City Council can and should be a part of that grassroots effort to change the priorities. Calling Mayor Sam Adams and other mayors of the U.S. were a part of that effort when they voted last June at the U.S. Conference of Mayors for a resolution calling for an end to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and redirecting our resources to what we really need. I'm here as a resident and a taxpayer of Portland to ask that Mayor Adams and other council members sign a similar resolution now and add their voice, the voice of the City of Portland, to a demand for change in national priorities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Ms. Huntwerk, I know you're not signed up, and I understand that we had a snafu, and I apologize for that. Do you have 3 minutes worth of thought on this issue?
I don't have a text with me now because I already had that outside, but I'm really concerned because it feels like we don't even consider sometimes that the people who live in Iraq and Afghanistan and now in Pakistan and other places are the same as us. And we're seeing a lot of people killed that were breeding more terrorists. That's one thing. And then the other thing is that we're seeing our service people come home committing suicide, highest rate of suicide among soldiers in the history of our country, because of the things they've done and seen. And we're seeing people who are dispatching drones suffering from PTSD because they can see with those cameras that they have right over the sites, the bodies flying, children and adults, people who are not terrorists. So I just think it's time to quit this stuff, frankly. It's time to quit and come home and take care of our business here at home. Our people are losing jobs. Our middle-class people are suffering. And the rich people keep saying, oh, we're making more jobs, but they're not. If you look at the data is carefully researched. That's not true. It's going into other pockets. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. I appreciate it. We'll follow up. Can you leave card? Yeah, you got it.
These are the petitions and the draft resolution.
Thanks, Mr. Hanneman. We'll follow up with you. That gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items to pull from the consent agenda? Hearing none, Carla, would you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have a time certain. It is a non-emergency ordinance. Can you please read the title for 1075?
Repeal Smith and Bybee Lakes National Resource Management Plan, including amendments to Title 33, Planning and Zoning, and Zoning Map. Add three maps to Title 33 related to airport futures.
Staff, please come forward. This has a very ominous sound to the title, but the briefing will show it isn't as ominous as it might appear.
Correct. And certainly not as heavy as our last discussion. I'd like to introduce Jay Sugnett, who's going to talk to you about the airport futures maps that were forgotten about, and Commissioner or Metro Councilor Shirley Craddock, who's here to give a word from Metro.
Great. Courtesies of the House goes to the great Metro Councilor Craddock.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm here today. My name is Shirley Craddock. I'm Metro Councilor. I represent the east part of the Metro region, and I also am a councilor liaison to the Intertwine. And so I'm here today to testify regarding the appeal of the Natural Resource Management Plan regarding the Smith-Bybee Wetlands. Smith-Bybee Wetlands is an extraordinary place. You would never know at this date that it was a landfill. There's over 2,100 acres of wetlands and uplands with associated wildlife. There are 17 species of fish, more than 150 birds identified, along with mammals, insects, reptiles, and amphibians. Metro is proud to be the land manager on behalf of the partners of the Smith-Bybee Wetlands Advisory Committee. I think the history of this is very interesting. The National Resource Management Plan for the wetlands was established in 1990 through a joint session between Metro and the Portland City Council, and we were looking at the history. I don't know if we've really had another joint session since then, so it's kind of an interesting piece of history. That's almost 21 years ago. The plan established Metro as a land manager as a leap of faith, because at that time, Metro was not responsible for any land. And today, Metro has responsibility for over 12,000 acres of natural area. As a part of a safety net to make sure Metro did their job, the National Resource Management Plan designated a coordinating advisory committee that brought together the City of Portland, the Port of Portland, Metro, community, and advocates. That committee has been meeting consistently for 20 years and will continue to meet after this National Resource Management Plan is repealed. For the last 20 years, we've seen the city dump transform into a wildlife habitat, the canoe launch developed by the City of Portland, wildlife habitat values increase rather than decrease, and plans for a new regional trail to take shape. It's been an extraordinary joint accomplishment. I'm proud that I can say that I'm now on Metro, can help represent this, although I obviously didn't take part in this. But the work isn't finished. The plan as a guiding document was a visionary for the time, and over 20 years has served its purpose. Now it's time to move forward and have a plan reflect who we are today, which means repealing the National Resource Management Plan. And Metro supports this repeal, knowing that a new vision has been developed that builds on the legacy of the plan but includes the committee's vision and projects for the next 10 years, has the same strong partnerships continuing to be in place, and is a major action that will come out of this will be a trail around the landfill that creates an important link between North Portland residents as well as bicyclists around the region. The trail will fill a gap in the 40-mile loop trail connecting the Willamette River Greenway with the Columbia River. Some elements will be new, but the basic tenet established in 1990 still holds. Smith and Bybee Wetlands is a place for native habitat and wildlife to flourish and for people to enjoy and provide stewardship of the place. Acknowledging the creativity and the strength of that 1990 plan, Metro encourages you to repeal the document, and we look forward to our continued partnership as we adopt a new vision. I want to thank Chris and Janet with Metro, who have been valued advisors on this, and I really thank you for your interest and support of this repeal, because hopefully in the near future we'll have a new one put in place. Thank you very much.
Okay, so
thank you, Councilor, for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you. Two things to keep in mind as I talk about the project. There are no zoning changes proposed at Smith and Bybee, so the environmental zones are staying in place and the base zones are staying in place. And the second thing is that we're talking about repealing a management plan, so a new one can be adopted. The new one doesn't come through the city council. It's a land use review. So we're just focusing on repeal of the old natural resource management plan. So first, we just want to look at some maps of where the Smith and Bybee wetlands is located in the city of Portland, up in North Portland, as Shirley mentioned. And this is a view, an aerial view of the area. And then again, this is the ownership map, and I'll follow it with an environmental zoning map. So the yellow color on the map is the private property ownership. The green is Metro, the blue is Port of Portland, and the pink is City of Portland. And you might not see the purple that well, but it's the Bonneville power line that crosses at the east end or the west end of the area. It's not a lot of land, but it's still the federal government there. And then this is the zoning map. The dark green is the environmental protection zone, and the lighter green is the environmental conservation zone. That white area is the St. John's landfill. It doesn't have any environmental zoning on it yet. Okay, so a little bit of background on what the Natural Resource Management Plan is. It's basically a tool that allows long-term project guidance for large ecosystems. The Natural Resource Management Plan provides a way to evaluate cumulative effects of development and mitigation proposed over time, and it can pre-approve projects to occur over a long time period. The Natural Resource Management Plan, as I mentioned a minute ago, is a legislative project, which means it needs approval by the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission and the City Council. It also needs approval by both groups for any major document changes or for repeal. So the Natural Resource Management Plan for Smith and Bybee Lakes was developed by a consortium of property owners in the mid-80s, as Shirley mentioned, and adopted by the City Council in 1990. It had identified some projects, which are now completed, and actually have been done for a number of years. Metro and the Smith-Bybee Advisory Committee are ready to use a new zoning tool that's now available. And it's a similar tool, but it's easier to update than the Natural Resource Management Plan. And that new tool is called the Comprehensive Natural Resource Plan. So a Comprehensive Natural Resource Plan is also a zoning tool that provides long-term project guidance for large ecosystems or large properties. The plan also provides a means to evaluate the cumulative effects of development and mitigation proposed to occur over a 10-year time frame. It's kind of similar to the conditional use master plan process, if you're familiar with that. Those plans also approve development projects for a 10-year time frame on institutional properties, for example. This comprehensive natural resource plan is approved through the land use review process, as I mentioned earlier. So we have a couple of small issues here. Might say a cart before the horse kind of an issue. So the Comprehensive Natural Resource Plan approval criteria require that a new plan be in compliance with an existing plan if there is one. The existing plan in this case is quite out of date, so compliance is not really the desired outcome here. But if we repeal the existing plan to deal with that issue, there's a gap in time between management plans. The land use review takes about 4 months or longer to approve. So if we repeal the natural resource management plan today, the comprehensive natural resource plan application needs to be made and then approved. There's going to be a gap in time, and we've heard some citizen concern about that gap in time. So the Planning and Sustainability Commission have recommended that the repeal be delayed to provide enough time so that the new plan can be approved, and they also recommend that the approval criteria for the Comprehensive Natural Resource Plan be slightly amended so that a new plan doesn't have to comply with the old plan if it's going to replace the old plan. And Jay is going to tell you about the Airport Futures Map.
So very quickly, this was left out of the April proceedings of the Airport Futures Plan. All we're doing is acknowledging that the inventory for the natural resources in the airport area was done, so we're amending the map and the zoning code. It does not change any of the regulations. It does not change any of the environmental overlay mapping. All we're doing is tying up a loose end, and that's it.
So this is the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendation. Adopt the ordinance, adopt the recommended memo from the Planning and Sustainability Commission, amend Title 33 as shown on Attachment A, and amend the official zoning maps as shown in Memo Attachment B. Any questions?
I just have one question. Is the Comprehensive Natural Resource Management Plan land use review a Type 3 review?
It is.
So it could potentially get appealed to council if people are not satisfied with it. Thank you.
Additional council discussion? Is anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have seven people. Okay. And the first four, please come on up. Are Katie Wheel, Dave Helzer, Janet Babe, and Troy Clark.
Hi, welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Are you all city employees?
Yes.
Some of you are?
Metro.
Oh, I'm the only one.
Okay, so let me give you the standard spiel. Local law require you to identify your name. We don't need your address. We don't want your phone number. Don't want your email address. But if you are representing another organization as a lobbyist, we'd ask that you declare, you're required to declare that as well. You'll have 3 minutes, and the clock in front of you will help you count it down. Please begin.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Dave Helzer. I'm on staff with Environmental Services. And in my staff capacity, I also serve as chair of the Smith and Bybee Wetlands Advisory Committee. So I'm here today representing both BES and the Advisory Committee. The committee has been part of the Natural Resource Management Plan and has served as a collaborative advisory group since the plan was incepted in 1990. As was mentioned earlier, the committee is comprised of representatives from the major landowners within the plan boundary area. This includes City of Portland, represented by Parks and BES, Port of Portland, and Metro. Additional members of the committee include representatives from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Friends of Smith and Bybee Lake, neighborhood associations, the Portland Audubon Society, and private landowners within the boundary make up the committee. The committee supports the retirement, or repeal, I guess we're saying, of the Natural Resources Management Plan, which will be replaced by the new plan called the Comprehensive Natural Resource Plan. The existing Natural Resource Management Plan was visionary 20 years ago, and the new plan builds on that vision as our understanding of the value of this tremendous resource has also grown. The new plan will continue the protection and improvement of this historic wetland, supporting both water quality and watershed health. The new plan also provides a vision for the uplands on the St. John's landfill, calling for enhanced wildlife habitat for rare species and a new public trail. The wetlands are a major refuge for wildlife, in fact. The site has been identified within the entire state of Oregon as an important bird area by the Audubon Society, placing it among some of the largest wildlife refuges in the state. Within the new plan, the biological and ecological principles are sound, and they build on the science-based management of this incredible wetland resource. Both BES and the committee support repealing the existing Smith-Bybee Natural Resources Management Plan in favor of the new comprehensive plan.
Hi, I'm Katie Weil with the Natural Areas Program for Metro. And Metro is in favor of the proposed action. And I would like to address the possible question of how management will continue in light of the current Natural Resource Management Plan repeal. Metro is in the process of developing intergovernmental agreements with the City of Portland and the Port of Portland for future cooperative management within the new Natural Resources Plan area. All of these partners have a good history regarding cooperative planning for and implementation of necessary land stewardship projects. Both the city and the port have shown support for and participated in active restoration over many years without any financial benefit for their own programs, and because they understand we all have a shared responsibility for this invaluable regional resource. The people on the ground caring for this land know each other and work well together, and we fully expect this to continue. These agreements will more clearly define access and management needs and will serve to align and support the natural resource management objectives for Smith and Bybee. So in light of this, repeal of the Natural Resource Management Plan will be an important step forward. Thank you.
Hi.
Sorry. I'm Janet Bibb, staff at Metro, and I'm here today on behalf of Susan Barnes from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, who wishes she could be here, but asked me to convey a couple of key messages to you about this. ODF&W is a committee member and has participated over the last 20 years on the management of Smith Bybee Wetlands. Susan writes to you that the retirement of the 1990 NRMP and the adoption of the new plan is consistent with the Oregon Conservation Strategy, Oregon's statewide blueprint for conserving priority species and habitat. The Oregon Conservation Strategy specifically calls out Smith and Bybee Wetlands as a unique opportunity for conservation and resource management. Retirement of the NRMP is a key first step in paving the way for updating this management plan. So that is a short synopsis from Susan and ODF&W. Secondly, I have for you a look at the new plan in an executive summary format. So I'll pass that out for your review. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Troy Clark. I'm the president of the Friends of Smith and Bybee Lakes, and I also represent Audubon on the management committee. I have been on the management committee in a couple of different capacities for 18 years. And so if you have questions about the NRMP, how the decision processes have worked over the last 20 years, I can talk about a lot of it. My concern today, though, is to underscore something that Chris brought up in her presentation about the gap between the sunsetting of the NRMP, or the repeal, and the installation of a new document, the CNRMP. This is the first CNRMP, or Comprehensive Natural Resources Plan, being brought forward to the city. And so there are questions. How long will this process take? Because this is the first one. And so we really urge that you approve the repeal of the NRMP, but keep it binding until the CNRMP is installed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your work.
The next three are Pat Opdyke, Gil Williams, and Emily Roth.
Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. Who'd like to go first?
I'll. My name is Gil Williams. I've had the pleasure of being the prime consultant working with Metro and the City of Portland on the development of the new management plan for Smith and Bybee. And in doing so, have been able to review the old management plan and can attest to its age, and that as Smith and Bybee has evolved, so have, I think, science and as well as public taste. So from a natural resource standpoint and from a recreational resource standpoint, I think it's important to acknowledge that change in taste and our change in approach to managing natural resources. It is going to be, moving forward, I think, a very valuable tool to have the updated plan. It's very pragmatic in its approach, and I think far exceeds the current management plan. While it served its purpose, it is definitely outdated. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and City Commissioners. I'm Emily Roth. I'm the Natural Resource Planner for Portland Parks and Rec. And really, it's too bad that we're sitting in here today and not out paddling on the lakes. You would certainly understand why it is such a valuable resource. Portland Parks and Rec supports the repeal of the Natural Resource Management Plan and the future implementation of the Comprehensive Natural Resource Management Plan for Smith and Bybee Wetlands. As you are well aware, Portland Parks and Metro efforts in protecting and managing important natural resource areas have dovetailed across the region, especially through the intertwine, both in acquisitions, restoration work, and management. We also work very closely with Metro on trail acquisition and planning. Portland Parks and Rec is a member of the Smith and Bybee Lakes Advisory Committee, and the committee has worked closely with Metro to develop the new Comprehensive Natural Resource Management Plan. The new plan continues to prioritize the protection and enhancement of the 2,000-acre wildlife area and modifies the allowed recreation uses to ensure they are compatible with the ecological functions of the site. Portland Parks and Rec will be taking the lead as part of the North Portland Greenway Trail planning effort on refining the trail alignment on the former St. John's landfill, which is part of Smith and Bybee Lakes. We applaud Metro's effort in pioneering this process with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability that allows for the repeal and consequently the update of the Natural Resource Management Plan at the City of Portland. Metro has completed a rigorous planning process that included the public in developing the comprehensive Natural Resource Management Plan. We hope that the plan is repealed, that they will use their new plan to guide their management of this important natural resource area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for all your work. Hi, welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Pat Opdyke. I've been serving since 1999 on the Smith-Bybee Wetlands Advisory Committee, as it is now called, not quite as long as Troy Day. Most of the people have said everything that needs to be said, and I want to say I concur in their recommendations as well as the factual information and the policy information that they have provided. So I think at this stage all I can offer you is just sort of what does an ordinary citizen kind of think of this. You need to know I'm a longtime conservationist and activist for watersheds. Some of you already know that. But when I go out there with my grandsons or I go out to the wetlands with friends to walk, I have noticed over the last 15 years that I've been living in proximity to the wetlands what a difference the management has already made. I have noticed that the trails have improved, that we've got a sedge meadow, that a lot of the invasive species that are around the edge of the landfill and the sloughs there are actually being controlled very well by the water control structure. All of these policies that were put into action under the NRMP. And it has really improved the environment, no pun intended, for those of us who want to watch birds, who want to go out for passive, just sort of meditative walks, or do some photography, or else to take family out there. Also under that NRMP, there is now some sort of tables, and there is a very nice restroom, thank you very much, so that we can be comfortable out there. All really appreciate it. Now, if I look into the future, having worked with Gil and others on the committee with the CNRP that you are being asked to look at in a few months' time, I would say that what we have seen now to date, what I've noticed in the last 15 years, will be quadrupled in the value. Because now we have a system outlined in the new CNRP that has identified habitat communities, sort of key targeted areas. We have an understanding of the components and the attributes so we can measure what works, what doesn't work, what's missing. And we can also measure, we're so far behind there. Why invest those resources, dollars, people, effort, education, into making a change there when we can make significant change in other areas and increase the value? We also will have, through this CNRP, the ability to have an effective invasive species policy and plan to address not only existing invasive species, but also that ones that are on the horizon. And they always show up around water. So I'm out of time, but thank you very much. And please do repeal it, bind it until you get the CRNP in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your service. Appreciate it. All right. Unless there's additional council discussion, I will move this to a second reading next week.
May I just, while everybody's here, thank you all for your work. This is really an exemplary public-private nonprofit partnership, multiple governments. This is not easy as it seemed in this coming forward with this. And usually when you'd see repeal a natural resources management plan, we'd be having both chambers filled in a three-hour meeting. So it's obvious that there's been a lot of staff work done ahead of time. I even checked my emails just before I came in here to make sure that there wasn't the last-minute storm of outrage. And in fact, it's obvious that the communication has gone well, that the partnerships have gone well. And as Pat said, in visiting the site, it's obvious that the previous plan has been very successful. There's been lots of volunteer work, government work done, and it's leveraged a beautiful place that's part of our regional network, natural system. Commissioner Fish is hobnobbing with the president today, so he's not able to be here, but I know he would be very proud of the Portland Parks and Recreation's work with Metro. And
hobnobbing. Very British.
And so thank you. Stop it. Thank you for your work.
Any more discussion? Thank you. And thank you for all your staff work and all your volunteer work. All right, moves to the second reading for the consideration next week. I would like to, if it's okay with council, to consider item 1090. Carla, can you please read the title for 1090?
1090, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $1 million from the U.S. Economic Development Administration for the Portland Regional Clean Tech Advance Project and authorize the city to act as fiscal agent to the Portland Development Commission.
Okay. Joining us to tell us what we are considering is Director of the Portland Development Commission, Patrick Quinton. Director Quinton.
Thank you very much, Mayor Adams. Good afternoon, commissioners. And I am here with good news. We're asking you to authorize the City of Portland to accept a $1 million grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration that was recently awarded as part of a challenge grant program called the Jobs Innovation Accelerator Challenge Grant Program. We were one of 20 regions throughout the country that received this award out of 120 that applied. The total grant that's awarded to the region is $2.2 million, and so we are sharing in that, and I think it's important to note what an extraordinary regional effort this was. I think close to 40 different organizations in both the Portland region as well as Southwest Washington participated in this. The application went in under our new Regional Economic Development Agency, Greater Portland, Inc., and so we are going to share in the work. The grant will support, in this broad region, it'll support the ongoing clean tech cluster work that I think you're very familiar with. What's great about this is that what it's designed to do is to promote the supply chain work that we've been doing in clean tech, the supply chain work that's trying to connect our existing manufacturing base with opportunities in the clean tech industry and help promote innovation of new products for the manufacturing sector and help the commercialization of those products, and then tie, obviously, to our local workforce. So it fits squarely within the direction we've been heading. That's why we felt so confident that we would have a competitive application. And I also want to point out that our ongoing participation in a effort led by the Brookings Institution around exports, in which we're one of four regions to participate in that, is also related to this effort. It's all kind of the same group of activities. We're trying to promote our local manufacturing sector to expand exports around the world, and Brookings has recognized us as well. I'll just end on this quick note by just thanking you for your continued support through the general fund allocation. We would not have made the progress that we have in our cluster work, the work that we can then talk to folks in Washington and elsewhere about without that support. And I also want to acknowledge our federal delegation, who have also been very supportive of this effort and have recognized our work and obviously tried to promote our work in Washington. So we're very happy to be the recipient of this and hope that you'll give us the authorization to move forward. Thanks.
So this is in the last 3 months, we've gotten announcements of two significant economic development grants that we've either been a lead partner in seeking or the recipient of. But the work is on a regional basis.
Yes. So
as we've translated, as we've developed Greater Portland, Inc., that's the amalgam of Greenlight Greater Portland and the private-only side with the Economic Partners, which was the public-only side. We worked with everyone to put that together to this new 4+ county regional economic development effort. this grant and the other grant of how much is the other grant?
I think the grant is from the SBA, but I think it's something like $500,000 a year for a few years. I don't have those facts in front of me. But
yeah. So we're making this is a structural change. It has a lasting benefit because it helps us strengthen and solidify the cluster work regionally. So it's very exciting, and I want to thank you, Director Quinton, your team, Noah Siegel, Kimberly Schneider, both was sort of between both teams, Peter Pariseau.
And Chris Harder as well on my team, yeah.
Chris Harder, Skip Newberry. So
I'm sorry, we should also acknowledge the port dedicated significant staff time to help us pull this application together. Lise Glancy was a staff person, but obviously Bill White and Tom Imeson were very, very helpful in providing those resources. So
we didn't have the staff, so I called Bill and Tom and said, can you loan us a staff person? They put Lise on it along with everybody else. We got it done. So thank you. I forgot they're involved with this grant, not the other grant.
No, it's truly. I don't know that there's been as much of a regional effort as this one, certainly in my time at PDC. So it's quite extraordinary and hopefully the sign of things to come. So
thank you. We don't have four, but as soon as he comes back, we'll vote on it. But is there anyone who wants to testify on this? All right, then we'll hold off on our vote unless that's him coming through the door. And can you please read the
title?
Oh, there he is. All right, would you please call the vote? Sorry, I didn't see you back there.
Leonard?
Well, nice work, Patrick, and thank you, Sam, for all your hard work. Aye.
Thank you.
Fritz?
Congratulations, both Patrick and Mayor Adams, for bringing in this $1 million of federal money. It has a non-federal matching requirement of $1,074,000. $350,000 of this is in-kind from the Portland Development Commission staff, which means, like the previous example on partnerships on a natural resource issue, that we are using our partners with economic resource issues in very good ways so that the sum of all is greater than the individual parts. And so I really appreciate this work. Obviously, it's going to be good for our community, particularly in how the grant is done and the partners that you'll bring in thereafter as well. Thank you very much. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good work, Mayor and PDC. Aye.
Adams.
Again, I want to just underscore thanks to Noah Siegel, who worked really hard on this, and Chris Harder, who worked really hard on this, and Lise Glancy. All right, we're $1 million richer.
That's right.
For like 30 seconds. Now, we related to this is continuing to strengthen permanently strengthen the city's economic resiliency. Can you please read the title for report, item number 1093? And you're starting out.
I'm staying here, yeah.
Okay.
Oregon University System, Oregon Health and Science University, Collaborative Life Sciences Building Project Progress Report.
I'm pleased to just make a quick introductory comments for this report. To get to this point of the development, the redevelopment and renewal of South Waterfront and the continued improvement of OHSU. This is probably decade and a half in the making. So I want to acknowledge at the outset my former boss, Mayor Vera Katz, who was the mayor at the time of the district's sort of formation. And it's been hard work, but it's the good kind of hard work, as you're going to hear today. We're going to hear first a quick overview of South Waterfront and then spend the bulk of the time on the great work of OHSU.
Thank you again, Mayor Adams. I just wanted to kick off and introduce this presentation by not that I think many of you that you really need a reminder of what we've done at South Waterfront, but I think it's always good to come back at this point and remind folks how we got here because I do think we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the work of folks like Mayor Katz and others. I am joined to my left by Brian Newman from OHSU, Mark Gregory of PSU, and David Bearden of OSU. So while OHSU does play a significant role in this, it is the OUS system as well that is a big partner in all this. So as we go back, you have more history than I do, but in 99 we created an urban renewal district, North McAdam. And the main focus was this area we refer to as South Waterfront. And just as a reminder, we started work in what we call the Central District of South Waterfront, and we're now looking at at the North District, but I think it's worthwhile just to remember this was all kind of open, vacant land, and the Central District was where we started first, and it was a master development agreement between the City of Portland through PDC, OHSU, as well as private property owners, and we accomplished a lot. If you look at, if we think back to what was there to what's there now, significant development of housing, significant infrastructure development, and I just want to point out that if we think about what transpired during the recession and you looked around the city, there were always cranes in the air in South Waterfront. There was always buildings going up, and there still are buildings going up in the Central District. We now have the first affordable housing coming out of the ground on Block 49. We recently completed the Mirabella and the Matisse. These are private developments, which obviously we've always trying to encourage. Obviously, I think a lot of us will all go back to the Center for Health and Healing as the project that started it all, and it was an extraordinary project. In this district alone, the city through PDC invested $65 million in tax increment financing. Roughly 15 million of that went directly to benefit OHSU's work, both through the Center for Health and Healing, but also through the TRAM, as well as our agreement around bioscience, and we helped with OHSU build out their bioscience capabilities, their commercialization capabilities, and then most recently put money into the wet lab space at the PSU accelerator. In addition, another $17-18 million went into the infrastructure around the district that helped OHSU employees and other folks move around that district. We're now looking at the North District, and so. There came a point in time a couple years back where we thought we finally, after many years, had the opportunity to move forward on this next open piece of land. And I think, as we all know, two major landowners and lots of conversations back and forth about how to proceed with development. And I think finally TriMet came along with their plans to move forward in light rail, created the impetus, the urgency around the three parties coming together with the city. And now we have just a hub of activity. I'm assuming we've all seen it, but anybody who's watching, if you haven't taken a look at what's going on in the North District or South Waterfront, you have to take a look. It's very difficult to get through there at this moment, but it's an extraordinary amount of work, and it's best seen if you go actually to the other side of the river from the OMSI side and you look back, because you see the bank work that's going on Zidell's property, you see the bridge work beginning as well as the Moody Avenue construction. It is truly extraordinary, and the folks to my left obviously are going to go in depth on this project, which I think is probably the most exciting project to date. But I also do want to recognize that the Zidell family and the Zidell companies as making the investment now to clean up their property and in conversations with PDC around new development there. So we think it's an exciting time for South Waterfront, and I think it's the vision of South Waterfront, you know, fully, you know, kind of evolving, and we're seeing it fully being realized. I think from the city's perspective, and the mayor made reference to this, and this is how I'll end, is that we view this as the next step in a vision that I think they'll talk about in their presentation, but we now talk about as the innovation quadrant. And if you think about what we're doing here, is we're linking the innovation institutions that actually currently exist in the city, and we're able to physically link them through light rail and through this bridge that's going to cross the river. But I think what you'll hear in a minute is a collaboration among institutions that will create a working relationship or further working relationship with these institutions on a specific site. And then obviously, hopefully, we'll be able to extend that across the river. PDC and the city are happy to get to assist with the development of this project. $1.7 million of tax increment financing will be going into to help the parking structure with this, which was part of the agreement that we made originally around the Central District. In addition, we will make available tax increment financing to help finance businesses that want to locate in the space that will be developed there for startup businesses, life sciences businesses, and we're still in conversations about how else we can make use of our resources to promote economic development in this part of South Waterfront. So we're very excited, and I think we're quite proud. I think all of us who've been involved in it should be quite proud of the foundation we laid in the earlier work in South Waterfront that allows us for the opportunity that we're about to hear about. So with that, I'll turn it over to, Mark's going to.
I think I'm going to kick off here. Again, I'm Mark Gregory, Associate Vice President of Portland State. Okay. Thank you, Commissioners, for your time today to hear about this project. We are also extraordinarily excited about this project. This is the culmination, as Mayor Adams indicated, of many, many years of planning and dreaming about collaboration. It is by far the largest collaboration between OUS and OHSU to date, and we are very enthusiastic about it. A little bit about what it is this project means to us and what the vision is. First off, it's an opportunity to promote the interinstitutional collaboration around life sciences and around translational research. We have here Oregon State, Portland State, and OHSU. There will be researchers from all institutions working in this building, as well as educators. We also are very cognizant that this